Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleague, Simon Jeffrey, to talk about our latest report he's authored about the need for local government reform. The report is called Levelling Up Local Government in England. Simon, let's start with the problem. Why do we need local government reform? And in particular, why do we need it now?
Well, essentially, local government is not in a position to level up the economy. Its structure is such that local economies are not reflected in local government. In large parts of the country, you have two tiers of government, each with overlapping powers, where one will be in charge of planning, where stuff gets built, and then a completely different institution will be in charge of, you know, the roads and the bus services on that. And then across other parts of the country, you might have all of those powers in one place in the centre of a city, but walk down the street and you're in another council area with a completely different institution with those same powers, which might be in conflict to, you know, the powers in, take Nottingham, for example, in the centre. So, you know, local economies are not reflected in local government. So we shouldn't really expect local governments to be making decisions that are, you know, good for local economies. So if a government wants to make sure that parts of our country that are really underperforming, mainly our big cities and towns in the North and Midlands, it needs to get institutions in those areas that are across the local economy and that have the powers in hand in one organisation to coordinate and act to, you know, drive up the opportunities and incomes in those places.
And your sense of, and just to say something about why now, in a sense, you know, we've had these sort of this situation for a while. Local government has reformed in different forms through the, you know, through the decades. But why now? Why is this such a pressing issue that needs reform now?
Well, the issue of regional inequality has clearly risen up the agenda. We now have a government that has a huge number of constituencies in areas where local economies have underperformed for, you know, 50 years at least, going back to when, you know, the last major national reform of local government took place. Now, we've had some excellent reforms, I think, over the last 10, 15 years. Governments of both sides have both come around to, you know, especially in our big cities, creating institutions at the scale of the city to deal with the problems of coordination on transport and planning and on skills. But there's still a large part of the country, probably about 50, 60% of the country, hasn't had any of that kind of reform. You think about places like Norwich, where you've got county councils and districts. They have not really got those institutions or been on the radar of reforms to get those institutions. And, you know, if government wants to put powers in the hands of local government and in places up in the north, if you think about Derby or Stoke, places that it's won seats recently, then, you know, these are the places that need reform now. And if they want to get returns at the next general election to get a reward for, you know, people voting for this government, then it really needs to make these reforms happen so they can actually be in place for that election.
Okay, so local political geography doesn't really match local economic geography, and much of our local government, as we well know, is underpowered relative to other local government systems in other parts of the world. What's our solution? What are we proposing needs to happen?
Well, our solution is to make sure that every local economy has a local government institution that much more effectively matches that. And we've said, you know, for people who live in an area, we want 70% of those people to also work in that area as a baseline. And our proposal is also that institution, the quality of institutions really matters to making good economic policy. And that means that there has to be a minimum threshold of local government size. And we say 300,000, so that everyone across the country and every business has access to a local government institution that can actually use the powers that it has about dealing with large scale investments, dealing with ensuring that the housing demand across a wider area can be provided. And we call for actually making sure that reforms that do take place ensure that local government remains local on the services that communities face. So we put an upper limit of 800,000, and that's about the size of Leeds City Council. But if there are local economies, as there are, which are larger than 800,000, then we say we'll keep the sort of a lower unit of local government that provides personal services. You think about social care, libraries, parks. But on the economic side, those powers get brought into one institution at the economic level, and they are held at a metropolitan mayoral combined authority.
So there's a reform element or a restructuring element to our proposals. And as you just outlined there, maybe say a little bit more, there's an empowerment element to our proposals as well, which is not just restructuring what we've got, but actually empowering, making what we change into much more powerful, much more relevant to the decisions that need to be made. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And the report really has two prongs. There is the reform of local government that we want local government to lead on, its boundaries and, you know, getting rid of two tiers. But actually, you know, we are well aware that it's not just an issue for local government. It's the relationship that central government has with local government that is really not conducive to allowing local governments to take decisions and benefit from good decisions. And actually, we think suffer from bad decisions economically. That is something that government needs to change. And that is really about setting a, similar to what Scotland has, a Sewell Convention, where government can't get involved in devolved matters. So over things like spatial planning, on transport, on you know, local taxation, areas have the powers to set the rules, to get the benefits of building more housing and have extra revenues to fund the services that they need. And government should not get involved. And that would only really be bringing the UK into line with almost every other large developed country across Europe.
So it's a big, bold idea. Inevitably, there will be critics or challenges for introducing such an idea. Obviously, an area on politics, but just outline what you think some of the key reasons or challenges that introducing this idea will need to overcome.
Well, firstly, the major challenge that either gets in the way of or, you know, really perverts the reforms of the past is that, you know, trying to reform an institution which forms the bedrock of a lot of, you know, governing parties, foot soldiers and activists across the country, essentially asking them to put themselves out of a job is really difficult. Unsurprisingly, people aren't that keen on it. So when you say, let's, you know, get rid of two-tier structures, well, the districts will say, we do a really important job and they don't want to be got rid of. And the counties, obviously, they say they do a fantastically important job. So in areas where there's a fear of potentially in marginal seats losing some of these people from the party, but also a fear of, you know, rather narrow interests that you might just lose the control of a council if you merge with an inner city area with a suburban area, you know, say you're a Conservative Party in control, you might lose it to Labour, then you might have this very narrow, very temporary desire to stop that change, to maintain a bit of control over a small area. But you really have to think of the grand scheme and of the government's major aims. These things are temporary. You know, who wins and who loses in elections changes over, you know, a decade, let alone, you know, 5 years or one electoral cycle. But the benefits of whether a Labour leader or a Conservative leader in a place is in charge is going to be so much greater if the institutions in place are there to make sure that, you know, whatever decisions they take are driven by the needs of the local economy.
And you talked there about the kind of the politics challenges. You know, there's a sort of often a response which is, from a procedural point of view, this is quite challenging. But actually, you outline in the report that we've been doing reform, you know, on an ongoing basis, really, over the last two decades. And actually, we have some recent examples where things can happen quite quickly if we are more so minded to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of it being a technical challenge that is incredibly complex and hard to do doesn't seem to be borne out by evidence from Dorset, where Devon and Dorset and Bournemouth managed to reform rather a complex structure with two unitaries and a county with a number of districts, where one district went in with the two unitaries and formed a new unitary, and the county formed another unitary. And that happened relatively quickly. I think, you know, within the space of kind of 18 months, that was done. The major issues and delays were local political opposition to it happening. And I think the idea that it is unbelievably complex or unbelievably difficult is definitely something that government should be much more relaxed about, and I think thinking about the positive benefits of the reform rather than the potential bear traps is arguments against change rather than I think thorough arguments of why change will fail.
And finally, just your sense as to, you know, how should we think about the size of the prize, you know, what's on offer for us if we can, you know, we can get better institutions that are more robust, govern at the right kind of scale. I mean, what sort of benefits might we accrue if we do that?
Well, Centre Cities has done quite a bit of work on looking at how we can level up the economy. And, you know, big cities are crucial to this, but also just thinking about the places that are underperforming. If we could close the underperformance gap of our cities, you know, close that by 30%, that would be about, you know, £50 billion a year is what the game could be. If we get institutions that can really harness the potential of places, really look at the challenges and overcome those, then, you know, the numbers get crazy. If you think about closing that over 20 years, that could be £1 trillion. But look at countries across the world. You think about Germany, you think about France, much lower levels of regional inequality. And that is associated with much stronger national economies, but also much stronger local economies. And getting to that stage is really what the prize is for England.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Simon. As always, you can find the report, Levelling Up Local Government in England, on our website, along with all other accompanying materials and research that we are doing in this field. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter, at Centre for Cities, or like us on Facebook and LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the Centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.